Welcome to another episode of The Corner Booth, the official podcast of RestaurantOwner.com. Today, the restaurant industry is changing faster than ever. Learn from successful independent restaurant operators and other industry leaders as they share best practices that will help you engage your team, delight your guests, and grow your business.
And welcome everyone to another episode of Corner Booth. I'm Chris Tripoli with RestaurantOwner.com. We've got a very special guest for you today. We're going to Georgia, home of some of the greatest Southern style cooking, to introduce you to the queen of waffles herself. Some of you might know Kelly Farrell for her waffles, her restaurant, Nana's Kitchen, Chicken and Waffles, her crazy Cooking with Kelly cookbook. It's a lot to get out there. Or maybe you've seen her because she's had appearances on Food Network, Good Morning America, Kelly and Mark, just to name a few. But we've got her for this next hour to learn about what makes her tick and how things are working for Kelly. So Kelly, so nice of you to join us. Welcome to Corner Booth.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here on this very cold day in Georgia.
Yes, it is. So everyone is probably huddling more in the kitchen.
Absolutely. Yes. Next to the waffle iron for certain.
Well, Kelly, to get things started, maybe you could tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Where did the itch come from? How did the passion start to get involved in this business? Everyone seems to have a different story of how they got in to where they are now. So how did it work for you?
Actually, I gotten started with a vision board. My story was a little different. With a vision board a few years ago, about 8 years ago to be exact, just doing a vision board, trying to figure out where I wanted my life to be, what I wanted my life to look like, along with my family, along with some other goals that I had. And that's really where Nana's was birthed, on that board that one day. But, you know, I've always been in the kitchen. I've always, you know, been in the kitchen with my mom and my grandmother, and, you know, I've learned to cook with them. I'm not a self-proclaimed chef, I like to say, more classically trained chef. I'm self-taught. It's just one of those things that I've always enjoyed ever since I was a little girl.
I think that's wonderful. I'm sure people are out there shaking their heads saying, hey, sounds like me. Why not? You set goals, you set objectives. We've had many people talk about their years of working in the kitchens and working their way up and how management turned into ownership. But we've also had just as many stories where people, again, maybe were interested, like you, learn from mom, learn from grandma. We don't always have to have the classic culinary training, but yet you can still follow your passion and make it real. So how did the business become? I mean, if this started 8 years ago with a vision, what was your road as far as the shopping for the location, the fine tuning of the concept, the reaching out to raise funds? How did that work for you and how long did it take?
Oh, boy. So funny story. I used to take my girls to school every day. I used to drive down the street. I lived in a town called Conyers, Georgia. East of downtown Atlanta. Very small town, very nice town, but a very small town. And I realized that we did not have any family-owned breakfast restaurants or concepts truly in the area. We had IHOP, we had Waffle House, and we had your classic restaurants, but we didn't have anything in regards to just getting really good Southern home-cooked food in the area. And every day I would drive and I would take my girls to school. And I noticed that this building was available. And the building was available for some time. It used to be a hamburger restaurant before it closed. And prior to that, it was another type of concept. And honestly, those concepts, from what I've heard, never stayed around for a long time. It was kind of a 2-year mark. And then the next one would come down from many years ago. It was a Huddle House. It used to be a Huddle House. Yeah, the building used to be.
I remember them.
Yeah, remember the Huddle Houses? They were like
small
Waffle House comps. Yeah, it was kind of similar to like Waffle House's competition back in the day.
It was.
Yes, it was. So make a long story short, I decided that I said, you know, let's just check it out and see if the building is available and what they're looking for. And that's exactly what we did. We stopped, we checked, and we were very interested in the space and went through that kind of logistical process of trying to lease the space, seeing what was necessary. And honestly, they projected the space to kind of be a turnkey building, so to say. So it was a, you know, clearly second generation space. It already had all the things and necessities that we needed to go with along with our concept, down from the tables and the chairs. It had pretty much everything in there that we needed to get and start, you know, to get started. And that's what we did. And I always say I went to Google and YouTube University because I didn't know anything about operating a restaurant during that time. I was an entrepreneur in the past. I've always been an entrepreneur. I've had, you know, successful businesses, but I must say, as we all know, nothing is nearly close to hospitality and restaurant operations. It's definitely a unique operation, and you have to be a strong built to handle what goes on around here. So to say, that's what we did. And we had the space for probably at least, maybe I would say 6 to 7 months before we even opened. It was a lot of things that we did not take into consideration of, you know, that needed to be done to get it up and running. It took a little time, you know, down from just making sure that the menu was ready and unique to finding, you know, reliable staff and people to help and trying to figure out what it looks like, you know, because as much as you love to cook and you have a concept, turning yes. that into feeding many others and hundreds of people can be a challenge, you know? So I didn't have any restaurant experience when I opened. I've never even worked in a restaurant as a host or anything. But I knew that, you know, number one, my main goal was customer service. And I knew that I wanted that to be my focus, as well as, you know, serving good food. And that's exactly that's what we do. We give a great customer service and sell the most amazing waffles you ever taste.
I love it. I love it. Yes. And I have to tell you, I have peaked. I would go there just to try out what the heck a cinnamon yes. roll waffle is. Because
absolutely.
Yeah, the menu isn't, I would say, a traditional, what you might expect for a Southern waffle type breakfast. Maybe you could take a few minutes and explain your points of difference, what your menu is, because there's some really interesting, almost dessert sounding breakfast waffle items.
Absolutely. So the unique thing about Nana's and our menu is, honestly, the waffles are a lot of my favorite childhood dishes and a lot of my favorite childhood, so to say, desserts, right? Because we kind of do more of a specialty waffle. You're not going to come here and just want the traditional waffle. We serve everything down to peach pecan waffles and banana foster. We deep fry some of our waffles. We have lemon waffles, which is similar to like a lemon meringue pie. We have peach cobbler waffles, which will be similar to your spinoff of peach cobbler. And a lot of those things are things that I grew up on as a child that I learned to cook, you know, between my mom and my grandmother. And that's really where a lot of the concepts come from. Even when we're still coming up with waffles, we just did a deep fried Oreo waffle. Amazing. Oh. Fantastic. Oh. You know, but that's for one of my kids. You know, my kids are like, we should do an Oreo. And that's what we do. We recreate it. And I have such an amazing team and a talented team of chefs as well. And we come in here and we get in the kitchen and we figure out what that looks like and just creating those unique experiences. So even in regards to the menu, you know, you have banana bread, which you might have every now and then. My grandmother still makes it from scratch. So sometimes you're going to get it and sometimes you won't. You have my grandmother's fried chicken recipe where we brine our chicken for over 12 hours and we make sure that it is well seasoned down to the bone. So to say, and you know, just favorite things that we enjoy, Southern dishes from, we do a New Orleans style beignet, which is fantastic. We do, a fried lobster tail, shrimp and grits. We even do, deep fried grit cakes where we put a crawfish and shrimp etouffee on top, which is absolutely amazing. Fried green tomatoes, one of my grandmother's favorite dishes. Everybody pretty much grew up on fried green tomatoes. But our twist with that is we do a warm pimento cheese on top with applewood bacon. Okay. Fantastic.
Is everybody getting sufficiently hungry out there?
Yes. I hope so.
How about some other specifics about the business now? Is this breakfast, lunch only? Is it 7 days a week or do you serve all day long?
Well, one thing I knew that when I opened this business, I knew that I wanted to be able to spend the evenings with my family still. So we close every day at 4 o'clock. So it's breakfast, lunch, and brunch. We are here at 8 a.m. and we are out by 4:30. And that's, you know, so people can spend time with their families and have a life outside of the business. So, yeah, we're open 7 days a week. I only close twice a year, which is Christmas and Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Now,
and
is it full service or do people order at the counter and you have the food run to them? How do you operate?
It's full service. We are talking and touching each customer that walks in here. I don't think I could get into the whole AI of serving just yet. We enjoy it. You know, customers come in here for an experience. They come in here for a warm welcome and amazing food and delicious food and great customer service. And that's what we thrive on. Absolutely. Culture, you know.
I hope people just made a note of that here that, you know, you've said this, I think, two or three times now. That there just has to be a love for people. There has to be a commitment to service. So we all know we're talking to somebody who's tremendously successful and didn't have, say, traditional training. We've also learned that you didn't have work experience in the restaurant business either. We've learned that. But you've got a repeated commitment to love of people, be committed to service. And if we forget that, then obviously we're not going to do well in this industry. Something tells me you make sure your people never forget that.
It's one of those things that we are in the customer service business. We are in the people business. You know, we can sell food, of course. That's one thing that we're going to do all day, every day, from the time we open the door, from the time we close. But people are going to remember us by our service. They're going to remember how you made them feel. They're going to remember what they ate that day, but they're also going to remember how you made them feel after they eaten. And when they get in that car and say, you know, wow, that was such a great experience. I love the music. I love the atmosphere. Of course, I love the food. And, you know, such and such or Sarah or Kelly, whoever, you know, she was just amazing. She had a beautiful smile. And I want them to be remembered in that way. I want, when you come to Nana's, I want you to say, you know, the people were well-dressed and the girls had on their red lipstick. All of my servers are required to wear red lipstick.
Oh.
But
you have any trouble with the guys?
Oh, the guys give me a little pushback on it. But no, the servers, you know, beautiful women and beautiful people in general. And I just want them to, you know, when you feel good and you look good, you do well. So it's one of those things that I definitely try and instill in my team and constantly for the last 8 years is what I've tried to do. And I think I've done a pretty good job at it. You know, people, I went to an event. I had to speak at a conference and they had questions for me at the end. And the young lady asked me, she said, I have just one question. I'm like, what is that? And she said, is everyone required to wear red lipstick at your establishment? And it was so cool because, you know, not everyone picks up on that. So I thought it was really cool for her to recognize the small details that you try and implement and to be remembered by. So
it is interesting what people will remember.
Yes. That's- It
no, I think you're 100% correct that you want people, of course, to remember the food. But long after I forget what I order or how much it cost, you will remember how you were handled. And so here you go. If people are picking up on your servers are always happy, they're remembering something as little as a red lipstick uniform policy. It's working. You mentioned 8 years. You've been operating in this single location for that long?
So I've been operating for 7 years, business for eight. My Conyers location stayed around for 6 years and I closed that Conyers location. We moved on to McDonough and I've been at 1 year in my McDonough location. So totaling operation 7 years, 6 years at one at one, and just actually signed the lease on a new location today.
Ah, there we go. So we're operating out of one location now, but soon to be two.
Soon to be two. And then we have a food truck as well that does multiple events and great parties and things of that nature. Yeah.
So how did it work from the business angle? Maybe you could tell some people who are thinking about doing this themselves. You closed a unit, you moved to a second unit. Was that because the lease was up, or was that because maybe you just found something else that you could do? And was that other location something that you bought, or did you lease it? How did it work?
So funny story. I had a partnership gone wrong, unfortunately. And I had a really, had some technical difficulties with my old landlord as well. You know how it is. You get very successful. And, you know, people see you doing extremely well. And sometimes they make things a little difficult. So the goal wasn't to really close the business. The goal was to expand and continue to, expand in different areas in Georgia. And unfortunately, you know, it was a little, I always say a delayed but not denied. So one of those things where I had to kind of pivot. So we had to close, unfortunately. And I had already signed my lease for the McDonald location. So it was one of those things where it kind of looked like, you know, we were closing and moving to another location, but I didn't officially make the announcement of what transpired and what happened, but it's worked out. It's worked out. Conyers, they tell me all the time, you know, when are you coming back? And, you know, but I'm working on a comeback, and hopefully sooner than later. I try and still do as many things as I can in the community. I just fed actually a group home for Thanksgiving, which I've been feeding them for the last 6 years in Rockdale County. So, you know, I love them. I love Rockdale. I love Conyers. They still come and support me here in McDonough and Henry County. And I'll be back there soon. And, you know,
but how far is it? How far is it for them to come?
It's probably about a 30 to 40 minute drive. About a 30 to 40 minute drive.
Well, there you go. But that's a compliment to the loyalty of the customers that they'll spend 40 minutes and come and see you. Can you tell us a little bit about this new location? Because a lot of times I know when people go from their first to the second location, there's specific issues they wanted to solve. Maybe it's size, flow, design, different equipment. Were there some issues that you were looking forward to? And then tell us, you know, what is different about the second location?
Well, the second location is just a tad bit bigger, but it's not much bigger. You know, when I was in Conyers, I had, I always say I had 14 tables and 7 bar stools. This location is a tad bit bigger in size. The kitchen space is a little bit more comfortable for my staff, a little bit more enclosed. The first location, of course, you know, I told you about that old Huddle House concept. So it's kind of set up similar to a Waffle House where you had a more open kitchen concept. I still have an open kitchen here, but it's not as much as customers can actually walk up to the kitchen and see you cooking an egg. But it's definitely exposed, which I love as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Moving forward, you know, we've already decided that with our locations moving forward or our franchises moving forward, that this would be the concept. I always love the smaller locations, though. So for me, 3,000 square feet and under is the perfect size for my concept. Just because we don't have to worry about staffing issues as much. We don't have to worry about issues with you know, call outs and shortages. And it's just more manageable for us, especially even still with us closing at 4 o'clock. But it gives you also that warm welcome and that warm family atmosphere that we thrive to have as well in regards to our culture and what we serve. So it works well for us. But McDonough has been amazing. We've had a warm, warm, warm welcome. We've already done so many amazing things in the community with the sheriff's department and Shaquille O'Neal and, you know, so many other people who come by and supported us as well. So we're doing great over here at McDonough. I couldn't ask for a better transition, honestly.
Good.
And it's been fairly easy. We didn't have to do much promotion and, you know, once we put the sign up, it was, they walked in and we are doing amazing.
Well, that's the next thing I would like you to tell the listeners now that they understand how you got started and what your concept is. You're part of a market niche that is gaining in popularity. The idea of the breakfast, lunch, brunch. We see that with a lot of regional chains. There's some nationals that are doing it. But what I love is that no matter what city I'm in, I find the local version of a Snooze or the local version of, you know, the La Peep and whatnot. And so it's a growing market niche. That's wonderful. But Speaking of growing, you've mentioned now that there is plan for continued growth because you already told me 3,000 square feet or less sounds like a really good size for growth. You mentioned whether it's corporate store or franchising. So I've got to ask you a little bit about that plan now. How did that develop? How did you decide that you wanted to grow? How do you see yourself, say, franchising? And how did you choose that route?
Well, you know, when I first gotten started, I didn't know what that looked like. I just knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I wanted to serve. I knew what I wanted it to look like. And I knew how I wanted it to feel. And the more that, you know, I was in the business and the longer I've been in the business, I've always had people that approach me from year one of, you know, I would like to get one of these. And, you know, can you bring this here? And can you bring it there? And, you know, and I realized that in order for me to scale and to scale successfully, that is something that I wanted to do. And we thought, and we talked about it, you know, corporate run or franchising, but I want to make entrepreneurs like me. And I want to be able to help families just like, you know, what I've done with my family. So that has always been my goal, you know, to create an environment and to create a concept that's easy and accessible. That can be family ran and these small towns, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a big place. And it's manageable and it's successful. And I've been able to do that for the last 7 years. So I'm super excited to do that for others and to make sure that we can move forward, with others and of course scale and make the business as successful and, you know, eventually put nanas all over the world.
I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. So there you go, folks. Just in case you're making a note that this is something you'd like to do, perhaps there'll be an opening in a region, you know, close to you. So the idea of growing through franchising, though, does mean operations, consistency, intellectual property, some legal work. How did you find to get that done? And the reason I ask is I know we've tripped over some operators in the past that have had that idea, but didn't necessarily get structured correctly or got poor advice or thought that they were licensing when in fact, maybe they had some issues managing, you know, the product, the source of the product later. I'm sure you want to avoid all of those things that can go wrong.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I've learned in business is if you don't know how to do it, you get a professional that can. And one thing that I never take for as a small thing in business is making sure that I have someone in my legal team who is great at exactly what it is that they do. So I have a franchise company that I decided to use and work with that I'm working with, Big Sky Franchising. And they are assisting me with making sure that we have everything together. All of the T's are crossed and all of the I's are dotted. And I've been working with them for maybe for a month or two now. We're just getting everything in order and getting everything ready. And hopefully we'll be able to go to market in a few more months.
Well, and I wish you tremendous success when you do. This is exciting. You can keep a few of your corporate stores and then obviously grow. I love the idea that you're looking for independence, not necessarily large restaurant groups. They're going to do multiple developments. You mentioned helping others get started in the business. Wonderful. Going into smaller secondary markets to offer that. Okay. So it sounds like you got a wonderful plan. Good for you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You know, there's another wonderful plan that you've been implementing that I'd like you to share. And that is how you have developed, because you've done it very well, how you've developed the marketing piece, because it's more than really advertising. You have more than, say, a market around a restaurant. You've developed a brand. And I think some restaurant operators struggle with knowing the difference. But to go from a restaurant to then being known as celebrity cookbook, to be able to get into activities, to be able to bond with community requires more than, say, what some people think is advertising.
Absolutely.
How did you do it? What would you like other small operators to know what they need to be careful of and what they need to do right in order to build a brand like you have?
Absolutely. And the best advice that I can give on that is I took my time. And I think a lot of people go into this business thinking, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. It has to be this and has to be that. And some people do very well with that. For me, I just wanted to take my time and I wanted to do it the right way. And that was, you know, over in the course of the last 7 years that I've been able to, you know, and I'm constantly still building my brand. Of course, social media, I think, was a huge impact with some of the success within the business. Community involvement, super important for me. It started with community, to be honest. Community and Facebook during that time. I don't even think Instagram was as big, but our Instagram grew. But honestly, and community involvement, you know, getting involved with a lot of state representatives and people in the community and organizations of such, and even involved with the children's schools, just making sure that, you know, we were spreading awareness about the business and the brand, and just taking those steps to secure, you know, our involvement with on all platforms, honestly. TV, you know, of course, I was approached by many TV shows, and television is always good. Done a few shows on OWN and cooking, you know, Live with Kelly and Ryan, and Food Network, every Food Network show there is, you know, and those are all great. But really just, and also just being involved within your business, I think is super important. So for the last probably 5 years, I've always, you know, been in the kitchen. And my staff will tell you, I'll do every position in here except for be a server. That's okay. One thing I won't do, but I don't mind, you know, bussing tables, sweeping the floors, doing dishes in the kitchen, social media. But that serving the table, I can never get with that. But other than that, you know, learning every aspect of my business, I think as well, has allowed me to be successful.
Yes.
And even still, you know, I put on that vision board, you know, I wanted to have my own line of products, which I finally do. Thank you. And I'm super excited about that. But that took some time. You know, I wanted to make sure that I had the right manufacturer. I wanted to make sure that the product was worthy of me selling, and the consistency. You know, when you build a brand and you have a consistency in regards to what you're serving, I wanted to make sure that that was exactly, you know, what the customer was receiving. So just taking my time, not rushing, you know, and sometimes you go with the trends and sometimes you don't. You know, a lot of people would say, okay, well, why don't you have hookah and why don't you have this? And that's not my brand. You know, I have a family brand and I want this brand to be able to go all over the world. And I stuck to that. I stuck to what it was that I truly wanted the business to look like in all aspects. And yet we, you know, we might make a small pivot, you know, due to maybe COVID or something like that. But other than that, I stay consistent with what I'm saying, and consistency is key. So that
Well, I want to just take a second here and underline for the listeners of things to make note of, because you're listening to marketing from the Queen of Waffles. I mean, this is marketing that you would have to go to a particular, I don't know, very expensive marketing all day course to listen to. But the keywords that I know I'm underlining here started with have a plan and take your time. Stay consistent, stay true to the brand, and keep involved in operations. So these are four basic steps that I'm hearing you say. And so, yeah, you can't vary too far from operations. You can't do a shotgun approach to do a little bit of everything. And you have to maintain your focus and do things one at a time. Boy, if everyone can do that, then it sounds like they're going to master social media.
Yes.
Be active in the community. They'll get their products packaged, sold through retail, maybe be able to create, you know, their own following and help with their growth.
Yeah.
What type of percentage of sales do you need to budget to do the type of marketing that Nana's does?
My marketing budget for the restaurant, I believe, is anywhere between really 7 to 10%. I don't do a lot. I have a social media manager. He runs all of our platforms. Every now and then we might do something in regards to a billboard. But honestly, I think if you are implementing the community, social media platforms, those are free, honestly. You know, if you are, even with the TV shows, you know, some of those things you can get on for free. I mean, you just have to look at some of the casting calls and get online. I mean, anything that is free marketing, you should be doing. You should
There you go.
Be
And
doing it
see,
well.
that's the reason why I asked.
Yes.
I knew you weren't going to tell me that, wow, you need a big experienced
No.
advertising agency. You need that. No, you don't. Social media that you're mentioning, community involvement, this really takes good vision and good time, but not a lot of money. So and more kudos to you.
Thank you. Thank you. One of those things, yeah, I didn't do a lot of paid marketing. You know, a lot of those things you get online, you get some reels done, you get some TikToks done. Again, you know, if it's things going on in the community with the schools or, you know, in regards to, you know, councilmen and things of that, I mean, you know, I've done a lot of donating as well. I you know, but word of mouth is that one thing that is the best marketing plan that you can ever receive. And that goes back to implementing service, good customer service, and truly just being involved. And that can take you way further than a billboard or a commercial or, you know, you because you're tapping into locals. You know, of course, we have people that come from all over the world, and that's amazing. But our daily business are our locals. It's people that are, you know, living in the area, who are driving by the area. It's people who are working in the area. That's super important. And those are the people that you want to make sure that you are catering to. You know, so you get on these, you get on the free sites, you know, promote your business. Anytime I'm generally out, I mean, even down to uniforms, you know, just your hats, your shirts. I can go anywhere with a Nana's hat or shirt on and they're like, ah, you know, like, so, I mean, literally, and my employees, they'll tell me the same thing. Mr. Charles, he'll tell me all the time, you know, I was in Walmart and lady ran me down, you know, somebody ran him down just to say hello. He's our greeter. But again, it's one of those things of how you make people feel. And, you know, again, just taking your time and making sure that you are implementing something that is of value.
So in order to have time for this as an owner operator, how do you structure your time? Maybe you could tell people a little bit about how you're structured. If you're 7 days a week, even though I know you don't have an evening shift, how do you develop your people? Do you have unit managers, assistant managers? How do you select and train staff so that this way you actually have the time to work on your business and not always in the business?
Absolutely. But I can say that I was in the business for 5 strong years before I could actually sit back and say, you know, I have a man, I have a GM, I have team leads. I have an amazing HR team. I have an amazing payroll team, social media team. That takes time. And it's not one of those things that happen overnight. But I've learned to I have to, in order for me to lead a successful team, you have to have a team of leaders as well. And you have to have people who are here that are dedicated, who understand business, and who understand leadership. So we have monthly meetings. We have, you know, I always provide my team with resources, in regards to, even we have management meetings as well. Where I meet with the managers and the managers will also meet with the team. So again, just one of those things where just learning to navigate and to create opportunity. And, you know, I have an amazing team. And honestly, I foresee even some of my team being able to, you know, purchase a franchise and move forward. And, you know, so again, just getting those people who understand business and who want to grow and move to that next level. So it wasn't an easy thing. I can say that, but it's one of those things that you have to take your time. And again, just creating culture and make, you know, resources. I think resources is very valuable. Before me and you got on the phone, we were talking about, I was talking with one of my team members and we were talking about the next meeting. And he said, you know what, Kelly, I told him all the people that were coming to the next meeting. I have a banker that's coming. I have a accountant, you know, a tax professional that's coming just to make sure if anyone needs help with you know, filing for taxes and things of that nature. And he said, you know what, can we also, do you mind getting someone who does credit repair? So, you know, again, just making sure that my team is successful, and they're ready and that, you know, they could be the best that they can be. So just, again, providing the resources for them for success and getting them ready to move forward in the next level of their lives, no matter what that looks like.
You know, that's so smart. It doesn't take us too long every time we talk to someone who's been successful at growing their business to get to the care for people. Yes. It doesn't take too long. That it's a people business after all.
It is. So,
yeah, I'm sure everyone's out there is understanding. Yeah, those first 5 years, you're working elbow to elbow with everyone. But if you can develop some people to help lead the team. And then if you can stay committed, that was the other key word I heard you say, committed to supporting them. If you can provide the education and resources, now you're developing loyalty and a bond that maintains that positive work environment. So yeah, all of those pieces of the puzzle seem to be fitting for you. Good for you.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
So what's next now? I mean, here we are in 2024. You have had your, you know, inception time, your development time. You've obviously cleared some hurdles that weren't a lot of fun, a move of a location, partner issues. Sometimes we learn from the difficulties. You've got this new location for a year. It sounds wonderful. And it sounds like it's going. And you've got a good team supporting.
Yes.
So you've got the new store to open. And then what?
So I have the new store to open, which I'm super excited about. I'm actually working on one other location as well.
Oh.
I'm currently working on my second cookbook. I have my first cookbook, Cooking with Kelly, working on my Mommy and Me cookbook. And I actually have my second cooking class that I just planned that's going to be hosted next month. I'm super excited about. So just, again, just working and traveling, doing a lot of speaking engagements. I'll be at the Restaurant and Bar Expo. I'm speaking there in March in Las Vegas. Super excited about that. And just working on, of course, just expanding the brand and the business. You know, I'm working on my product line right now. I currently have the waffle mix, the traditional waffle mix, my Cajun grits, and I have a 24 Kerrygold maple syrup that was just featured in Forbes. Super excited about that. And
wow.
Just creating, you know, creating my recipes. I'm super excited about my product development. That has like gotten me super excited. Doing a line of waffle syrups, doing a line of more waffle mixes. Right now I have traditional, but we're going to expand that. And just, you know, steadily just trying to get those into the market. Again, you know, all of those things take time, but just gradually, you know, again, just expanding the business and the overall brand.
Now, that is something that a lot of people haven't, you know, done as well. And that is the actual packaging and selling of a retail product. We've had a few people on Corner Booth talking about maybe sauces, marinades, seasonings, rubs that have worked out well. But we've had more people, I think, talking about how that's something they want to do, but haven't done. So could you give us some of the steps that you went through? I mean, how you develop this? Where are the people? How does it get produced? Where are the kitchens, the testing, the cost involved in order to get your product out there?
Well, I used a company, Soku Kitchen, which is amazing. She's actually one of my really good friends. We've actually done some TV shows together. She's come to my cooking class to help do some demos as well. She's been on probably every Food Network show as well. Mm-hmm. But she's amazing. But it took some time. It took close to a year, a little over a year to develop the recipes. I wanted to have something that was amazing. You know, I wanted the products to really represent the brand and the business and myself.
Right.
So it took some time. You know, we worked on recipe development. We've done a lot in regards to tasting and playing and going in the kitchen. It's a whole process. It's not an overnight thing. It's not about just ordering a bottle off of a, you know, Uline and adding something to it. You know, we really are in the kitchen, and she really is in that lab getting things created and developed in regards to your business. And, you know, the other thing was branding. So making sure that is good as the food is, what does the label look like? And what, you know, does it represent the brand? So Just making sure that we had something that we were committed to and something that I felt great about selling and giving to a customer. And I want them to go home and really make really good waffles for their family.
Sure, sure. So there's waffle mix, there's syrups. Yeah. There's more coming. Yeah. If the listeners were interested in finding your product line, finding your cookbooks, how do people find these? Where can they go to buy them now?
Absolutely. You can come to the restaurant, of course. I would love for you to come and eat, and then you can take some products home with you. Or you can go to the website, Cooking with a K, cookingwithkelly.com. You can go to nanaschickenandwaffles.com. You can, my cookbooks can be, they're sold everywhere. You can go to Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Target.com, and just look for those as well. And everything's available online.
Well, there you go. And that's what I would suggest we do. So for those of you who maybe aren't in the immediate Georgia market and can't go to the restaurant, do that. Let's get the book, buy some of the product, and we will be following your successful growth with interest. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your story and making us very, very hungry for specialty Southern waffles today. Appreciate your time and wish you tremendous continued success.
Thank you so much for having me.
And for everyone else, we hope that we can meet up again real soon on another Corner Booth. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us on the Corner Booth. We'll be back next Tuesday with more inspiration, insights, and industry best practices to help you engage your team, delight your guests, and grow your business.